May I ask you to open your Bibles to 1 Peter chapter 2. You say, I don't have a Bible. There's one in the pew in front of you, but you need to come with a Bible. One of the things I've observed change in church life over the years is that we have more and more people coming with Starbucks cups in their hand to church than Bibles. That's not a trend we want, is it? We all enjoy Starbucks, but you need to come with a Bible. I just got a new Bible on Friday night, one where the pages stick together a little bit. So I put a marker on 1 Peter 2. It's embarrassing if the preacher can't find the passage. So I want you to find the passage, 1 Peter chapter 2. And you may need to do what I do, is to buy a Bible. It's the most important purchase you'd ever make. Your own Bible, you can mark it, you'll get to love it, and we want to help you to do that. So 1 Peter chapter 2. In the first chapter of 1 Peter 1, as you know, if you've been following this series, Peter is giving a great exposition of our great salvation. He's writing to suffering Christians, persecuted Christians, and he is wanting them to reflect on the wonderful blessings that they have in Christ, given by the Father, the Son, and the Holy Spirit. And having set out these wonderful truths of the gospel in the first 12 verses of the first chapter, Peter then turns to the practical implications of the Christian life. There are certainly things to be learned in the Christian faith that is essential, but these truths must be practiced. To have an understanding of truth and not to practice the truth continues you in your immaturity. So there are Christians who know their Bible. They can give the answers. They like to tell people that they know more about the Bible than other people, but sadly, they haven't practiced. It's like someone learning the theory of a sport and never actually playing the sport. They sound very, very wise, sitting in the armchair, giving advice to others, but they're not practiced. The Christian life is to be practiced. As you come here and as you read your Bible, understand the truths, and then seek with the help of the Holy Spirit to put it into practice. And Peter, as he moves from the truth of the gospel to the practical implications of that in verse 13, as we've seen before in chapter 1, he gives a call, a strong call to holy living. In an impure world, God is calling us to purity. And the more we understand what God in Christ has done for us, the greater our resolve, I would say our greater our motivation will be to live a life pleasing to God. Now, I know you want to do that, don't you? Don't you want your life to please God? So first, he gives a call to holy living, as we've seen. Secondly, as we saw last week, as we looked at verses 22 through 25 of 1 Peter 1, he exhorts us to love one another earnestly from a pure heart. A pure relationship with God will result in loving God and loving others. And that love that you have for your brothers and sisters here at Calvary is to be sincere, it's to be deep, it's to flow, Peter says, from purifying souls. Verse 22 of chapter 1, having purified your souls by your obedience to the truth, for a sincere brotherly love, love one another earnestly from a pure heart. That is, in the family of God, here at Calvary Church, we're to love one another. And I challenged you to do that. I challenged you last week to reach out in love. And I'm glad to say that at least a few of you have done that, because some of you gave me examples, and here is one. To be anonymous, an individual wrote to me, and the subject was last Sunday's message on love one another. I thought at least someone heard. Dear Pastor Monroe, in your message last Sunday, you encouraged us to reach out to people different to ourselves, culture, skin color, age, etc. He gives his wife's name and says, his wife and I can say that we are very much on the receiving end of such love. So we pray that love expands in the church beyond what is already there. Although we are very old, foreigners in this land, and speak the local language badly, a young couple with four very young children have adopted us as grandparents. We feel very loved when these little children run to us in church, sit on our knees in the pews, and even invite us to birthday parties. I thought, how wonderful. Here's a couple, elderly, coming towards the end of their life, coming from another country, coming to a place like Calvary where they know no one, and this family with these children have reached out to them in love. Love one another earnestly from a pure heart. Are you doing that? I'm assuming you love your own family. If you don't, you've got a real problem. It starts there, doesn't it? A love for God, love for a family. But that love is to reach out beyond our little group. And I encourage you to continue to do that. Now, here's the third exhortation, which brings us to chapter 2, verses 1 through 3. Peter exhorts us to long for the pure spiritual milk. A call to holy living, a call to love one another earnestly from a pure heart, and now a call to long for the pure spiritual milk. And that brings us to our second theme for the year, which is read God's word daily. Our first theme, love one another. Second theme, read God's word daily. Our new birth is just the beginning of the Christian life. At the end of Peter's second epistle, he exhorts us to grow in the grace and knowledge of our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ. If you're a follower of Jesus Christ, you want to grow. You want to please the Lord. You want your life to count, to be a blessing to others. How are you going to grow in your faith? Peter's going to tell us in verses 1, 2, and 3 of 1 Peter 2. He's going to give us great help in growing in our spiritual life. He's going to give us the negative first and then the positive. Let's stand and read these verses. 1 Peter chapter 2. Verses 1 through 3. Will you read with me? So put away all malice and all deceit and hypocrisy and envy and all slander. Like newborn infants, long for the pure spiritual milk, that by it you may grow up into salvation, if indeed you have tasted that the Lord is good. Amen. Please be seated. Now, as you're reading your Bible and you read 1 Peter 1 and you come into chapter 2 and look at verse 1, it's a bit of a shock, isn't it? I mean, he's telling us to live holy lives. He's telling us to love one another. He's telling us the importance of the abiding Word of God. And then he gets very negative. And I thought of that. I thought, here it is, writing to these persecuted Christians. Why would he need to say that? Do you think among Christians there is ever any malice or deceit or hypocrisy or envy or slander? Do you think at Calvary Church, do we need to hear verse 1 or should we just go on to verse 2? No, the reality is, those of us who have been saved by God's grace, have experienced this new birth, are called to this living hope that he talks about in chapter 1, sometimes can behave very, very immaturely. And he tells us to put away all destructive actions and attitudes. I'm asking you, you individually, whoever you are, I'm asking you today to put away all destructive actions and attitudes. The very opposite of loving one another. Now, what's the first? Put away, verse 1, all malice and all deceit. The imagery here is of putting away old clothes. You receive a new wardrobe in Christ, you're born again. You've got these beautiful clothes to put on. That's the metaphor. But you've still got your old clothes over here. And there is a tendency by you and me to sometimes put on the old clothes. They're very comfortable. We like them. Notice what Peter says. Put them away. These old clothes are totally inconsistent with your new life in Christ. You're called to holy living. You're called to love one another. You've called to reach out in love to your fellow brothers and sisters. Why then would you act in such a malicious and deceitful way? Throw away these clothes. You've been purified. Verse 22 of chapter 1. Purified. You've been redeemed through the precious blood of Jesus Christ. And the first destructive actions and attitudes to be put away are malice and all deceit. See, these sins destroy this fervent love for one another in the Christian community. What's malice? It's evil. It's wickedness. Particularly malicious, vicious ill will towards someone. You say, well, that would never happen among Christians. Yes, it would. Otherwise, Peter wouldn't have to write to the first century. Otherwise, it wouldn't be necessary for us at Calvary Church to hear this. Do you ever want to harm someone? You want to hurt someone? You want to ruin someone's reputation? That's malice. Put it away. Put away all malice. What's the next one? And all deceit. The Greek word for deceit, translated deceit, is dolos. We have, at least in Scottish criminal law, the word dole. When I was a prosecutor, we would accuse someone. We would say the accused was acting with dole when he murdered such and such. What is dole? What is this? It's deceit. The man had a criminal intent. The mens rea was there. He deliberately wanted to kill this person. It wasn't an accident. It was deceitful. Deliberate deceptiveness. Any Christian ever do that in a business? You're in business. Are you ever deceitful? You're a salesperson. You ever deceitful? You're at school. You ever copy someone's bit of plagiarism, deceit? Man, do you ever deceive your wife? Brothers and sisters, as you serve together, is there ever any deceit? Look at chapter 2, verse 22, regarding our Savior. Peter writes, he committed no sin, neither was deceit found in his mouth. One of the ways that deceit is manifested is in our speech, isn't it? Look at chapter 3, verse 10. For whoever desires to love life and see good days, let him keep his tongue from evil and his lips from speaking deceit. Same word, dolos. No deceit when you're speaking. This is very convicting, isn't it? They are destructive of spiritual growth in your life. They're going to keep you from the word of God. So malice and deceit are to be put away. Then he says, and hypocrisy. No hypocrisy among Christians. We thought of that last week, that hypocrisy is playing a part, pretending to be someone. The opposite of sincerity, chapter 1, verse 22, he says that this love is for a sincere, in Greek, non-hypocrisy. Your love is to be sincere, not hypocritical. All hypocrisy is to be put away. Hypocrisy is very common in Christian circles, isn't it? Most of us have probably been guilty of it. Pretending to be more spiritual than we are. That spiritual look, that inflection of the voice when we're praying, that appearance that we have when we think people are looking at us when we're worshiping God, that desire to gossip, but we use it under a concern for the person, a prayer request. Pray for so-and-so. And we gossip. And we're not really concerned about praying for them. We're spreading gossip. Destructive of spiritual growth. Your love is to be sincere. Our mission at Calvary is being authentic followers of Jesus Christ, not phony followers of Jesus Christ. No phoniness. Put it away. You hate phoniness. I hate phoniness. But it's so easy to be, isn't it? Hypocrisy. Put it away. But there's more. Envy and all slander. What's envy? Covetousness. Longing to what others have. The Tenth Commandment, you shall not covet. Envy is the inward attitude behind so much hypocrisy and deceit. Envy is wanting to have or be what others are or have. You envy their home, their position in life, their spouse, their girlfriend, their spiritual gift, how God is using them. You look on someone else and you're full of envy. Put it away. That envy so easily leads to slander, doesn't it? What's slander? Evil speaking and criticizing people unfairly. Gossiping about people. You don't know all the facts, but you're making a judgment and you're slandering your brother or sister. Your envy of them has led you to slander your brother or sister in Christ. Proverbs 6:19, the Lord hates the one who spreads strife among brothers. Well, that's convicting, isn't it? Here at Calvary, are you a unifier or are you a critic? In your group, you criticize the elders, you criticize the deacons. And this is hard for me to believe you criticize the pastors. And we deserve some criticism. The church isn't what you think. It's not as spiritual as you are. And you have a critical attitude. And you tell others about it. You don't go to the leadership with your concerns. But you called strife. The Lord hates the one who spreads strife among brothers. Do you remember Napoleon's Progress? John Bunyan has a character called the Mud Raker. And in one of the versions of Pilgrim's Progress I have, there's a picture of the Mud Raker. He's got the rake and he's in the mud, and above him is a crown. But he never sees that. He's always at the negative, always raking in the mud. There are people in churches a bit like that, aren't they? They gravitate to the mud and the muck. Don't be like that, brother. Put that away. That kind of clothing is totally inconsistent with loving your brothers with a sincere love. If you're serious about your spiritual growth, and I know you are, you and I have to radically deal with these sins. Put away all destructive actions and attitudes. You've entered into a new life in Christ. These old clothes are totally out of fashion. God has given you so much more. Put on these virtues. These old sins are inappropriate in this family of love. We don't want them at Calvary Church. These sins impede your spiritual growth and ours, and they are destructive of loving harmony in the assembly of the people of God. Just think at Calvary. If these sins were put away. It begins with you and it begins with me. Now that's the negative. What's the positive? Verse 2. Desire the word of God. Like newborn infants, long for the pure spiritual milk that by it you may grow up into salvation. Our spiritual life begins with the word of God. We're saved by the miracle of the new birth, which results from the living and abiding Word of God. Chapter 1:23, since you've been born again, not of perishable seed, but of imperishable, through the living and abiding Word of God. Verse 25, the Word of the Lord remains forever, and this Word is the good news that was preached to you. The supernatural Word, as we hear the gospel, We embrace it. We embrace Christ, and our lives are changed. All else in life is insignificant. The glory, our own ambitions and dreams, they wither and die, but the word of the Lord abides forever. Paul describes it in Philippians 2 as the word of life. It brings life to our souls. It nourishes us in our faith. We grow as we desire the sincere milk of the word. We're to long for it because it is supernatural. It changes our lives. To grow spiritually, we need nourishment. And if we're born again, God gives us a desire, doesn't he, for his word. And Peter makes it easy for us to understand because he uses the analogy of newborn babies longing for milk. Like newborn infants long for the pure spiritual milk that by it you may grow up into salvation. What's the desire of a newborn baby? A cute outfit? Nicely decorated nursery? Fancy toys, all these things that are given to the mother when she has these showers before the baby's born. Showers that I never go to, by the way. I went to one, the first church, I never heard of them. We don't have them in Scotland, fortunately. And I went to one and I thought, never again, I'm gonna sit for hours watching people unwrap little presents for this unborn baby. I've offended some of you. I know, I'm sorry. But Goodney loves them, so you can invite her. Because now I'm told you have couples. It's really cool when a couple goes, saying, really? So here are all of these wonderful gifts for the baby. The baby's born. The baby cares absolutely nothing for them. What does the baby want? A desire for the mother's milk. And that's a wonderful thing because the baby's desire for the mother's milk is evidence of a healthy baby. As long as you give that baby milk and clean up the consequences of the milk, you've got a healthy and contented baby, don't you? The strong desire of the baby for the mother's milk. You understand that? I'm a follower of Jesus Christ. I'm a newborn baby. I need nourishment. These Christians were living in a pagan world, a world where there was opposition, a world where they stood out, where they were marginalized, where they were ridiculed and persecuted. They were going to be strong. Where was that going to come from? From the milk of the word. Long for it, desired it. The rabbis compared the law of God to milk. Let me ask you, do you long for God's word? Did you come here this morning longing to hear God's word preached? Did you? Tomorrow morning, do you pick up your Bible and long to hear what God is saying to you? Jesus said in John 8:47, the one who is of God hears the word of God. How much time did you spend in this book this week? You say, well, I went to Bible study, I came to church. That is great. I'm all for that, obviously. But I'm asking you something else. How much time you, the Bible, and the Holy Spirit spend? Some of us, like myself, we preach and teach. And we prepare for that, that's great. I'm not talking about that, that is important. But something is even more important, you and me, opening our Bibles, not because I'm going to preach, but because I need it for my spiritual nourishment. And the more we grow in our faith, the more we love the Word of God. Here is the psalmist, Psalm 1. You know it well, many of you. Psalm 1, I can get these pages, they're sticking together, here we are. Psalm 1, verse 2, the psalmist, the one who is blessed, delights in the law of the Lord. That's not a chore. He delights in the law of the Lord. Psalm 119, verse 24. Your testimonies are my delight. They are my counselors. We say, well, I have a counselor. Yes. Here's the best counsel, the word of God, a delight. Verse 47 of Psalm 119. I find my delight in your commandments, which I love. Psalm 119, verse 97. How I love your law. It's my meditation all the day. Your commandments make me wiser than my enemies, for it is ever with me. I have more understanding than all my teachers, for your testimonies are my meditation. I understand more than the aged, for I keep your precepts. I hold back my feet from every evil way in order to keep your word. I do not turn aside from your rules, for you have taught me. How sweet are your words to my taste, sweeter than honey to my mouth. Through your precepts, I get understanding. Therefore, I hate every false way. Is that a reflection of you? Psalmist says, your words are sweet to my taste. In Psalm 19, he says about the word of God, it is more to be desired than gold. Yes, than fine gold. Sweeter also than honey in a honeycomb. The sweetest thing to David was not honey, was the word of God. The most precious thing to David was not his money, was not his gold, but was the word of God. Long for it, brothers, sisters. You say, well, I'm a new Christian. I don't know my way around this book. Start with the Gospels. Read about the life of Christ. Start with the book of Mark, the smallest gospel. Read one of the epistles, Philippians, only 4 chapters. You could read in about 20 minutes, one sitting, and pray for understanding. Remember, Jesus says, we cannot live by bread alone, but by every word that comes, present tense, that comes from the mouth of God. You cannot live spiritually apart from the word of God. It is our nourishment. It's like the baby desiring the mother's milk. And this word is given so that we might, Peter says, grow up into salvation. Yes, we are saved, but we're now wanting to grow in our salvation, to become strong in the Lord, to be equipped for every good work through God's word. Not desiring the word of God reveals a spiritual problem. That newborn baby doesn't want the mother's milk. Remember, in the first century, there was no formula. There would be a real problem. If you don't desire the word of God, there's a possibility that you've never been saved. You're a professor of salvation, but not a possessor. The other possibility is that you may be a follower of Christ, but you've not put away these destructive sins. You're going back to your old clothes. You're living like an unbeliever. You may come to church. You may even attend a Bible study. But dusty Bibles lead to dirty lives. Don't be surprised if you're taking in junk food that you don't have a wholesome appetite for the Word of God. In your physical appetite, if you're always eating Big Macs and sodas, don't be surprised when you don't have an appetite for a balanced, healthy diet. Just as there are people with physical eating disorders, there are many Christians with spiritual eating disorders. They're taking in junk food, spiritual junk food. Instead of loving the Word, you're loving the world. Notice how Peter describes the Word. He says it is the pure spiritual milk. That word pure is the word deceit, dolos, with an alpha in front of it. That is, there is no deceit in it. And the word of God is wholesome, unadulterated, not watered down, no contaminants, no additives. You don't need anything beyond this. It is the pure spiritual milk. 100% safe. my opinions and your opinions are not pure. If I give my views, social affairs, politics, all kinds of ideas, I may throw in some words of the gospel here and there, but my opinions are not 100% pure. Neither are yours. That's why at Calvary, every time someone comes behind this podium, they say, let's open our Bibles. I can tell stories. I can make you cry. I can make you laugh. I have all kinds of ideas. But that is not the pure spiritual milk of the Word. The more you read it, the more you'll want to. The less you read it, the less you will want to. Notice what Peter says as an encouragement in verse 3. If indeed you have tasted, this is brilliant, isn't it? And Tim read from Psalm 34 where this comes from. If you have tasted that the Lord is good. I thought about that. Think of it. The living, eternal Lord, our Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ. Peter, quoting from the Old Testament, says that we can taste of the Lord. And the Lord is good. Those of us who have been born again, saved by the grace of God, we have tasted that the Lord is good. We've tasted of His mercy and His grace and His compassion. And the more we taste the Lord, the more we understand the depth of His goodness and kindness towards us. And the more we'll want to taste of the Lord and long for the pure spiritual word. Taste and see, says the psalmist, that the Lord is good. Blessed is the man who takes his refuge in Him. Who do you turn to in the time of the crisis? You turn to the Lord. Who do you thank in the good times? The Lord. We taste that the Lord is good. Even in the bad circumstances of life, the Lord is always good, and we always are to find our refuge in Him. And the more you taste of Him, the more you love Him. Think of the beautiful picture of the little newborn baby nestling into the mother and getting the nourishment from the mother's milk. That develops a strong bond, doesn't it, mothers? Hundreds of you have had that experience of feeding a little baby on the strong, intimate bond that grows and grows and grows as you love this little baby. And as that baby understands you and desires your milk and begins a wonderful bond that will last throughout life of a mother and a child. We grow in our love for Christ the closer we are to Him. And there develops between the people of God and the Lord that wonderful, intimate relationship. Taste, brother, sister, taste and see that the Lord is good. Pursue Christ. Look to Christ. Understand Him. Follow Him. Seek first the kingdom of God with all of your heart, and you will know the goodness of God. It's very good for us, isn't it? As a church, to reflect on the goodness of God. Has God been good to us at Calvary? Incredible. Grace upon grace. His goodness to us in so many ways. Goodness to you as an individual. Goodness to us as a family. When I say to goodness, we look back over the years, how good the Lord has been to us. And we taste and see, we pursue the sincere milk of the Word, and we grow up into salvation. That's the delight of knowing Christ, isn't it? And of growing into salvation. What am I saying to you? Put away all the destructive actions and attitudes. Will you do that every day? Pursue the Lord. Desire the sincere milk of the Word. Don't live as a Christian depending on your feelings and emotions. Be rooted in the Word of God, which is 100% pure, utterly reliable. This is a way of blessing and maturity. Desire the sincere milk of the Word, that by it you will grow up into salvation. Get rid of the junk food in your life. Here is our second theme for 2024. Read God's Word daily. Will you do that? Let's pray. Father, we're convicted as we think of our sins, and yet we thank you for our Savior who comes to forgive and to save. And yet there are things that we must do, and certainly as we come to the Lord's table, we want to come with clean hands and a pure heart. So we repent of our sins. We put them away. And thank you again for the precious blood of Jesus Christ, that Lamb without spot or blemish. Help us now to taste and see that the Lord is good as we partake of the Lord's table. In Christ's name, amen.